Is social distancing keeping you from a nail salon? Well, don't worry. Sexy Boss Babe has you covered. Introducing Quick Nails, the do-it-yourself salon manicure in 5 minutes. They last 7 to 10 days, are cruelty-free, vegan, recyclable, reusable, and every purchase supports foster youth and sex trafficking survivors. You can look good and change the world. Visit sexybossbabe.com to get a box today. Create a free account to get VIP pricing and benefits. She's a one-woman financial advice powerhouse with 10 New York Times bestsellers and winner of 2 Emmys for her TV show on CNBC. We are proud to say the Sexy Boss Babe podcast is loved and listened to by Susie Orman, the world's number one expert on personal finance. Learn about investing in financial success directly from Susie on her podcast, Women and Money and the Men Smart Enough to Listen, available now on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most platforms. Hi, everyone. This is Arzo, and you're listening to the Sexy Boss Babe podcast. Thanks again for joining me this week. Today's topic is about the dangers of online shaming and online bullying. Now, season 2, I did do an episode about haters and how to deal with that. There was talk about real life haters and just, you know, kind of real life bullies in the workplace and things like that. And it touched a little bit on the online haters and trolls. But this particular episode, it's more going to address the online shaming that is just really rampant right now. There's this really kind of scary and unnerving mob mentality that I've noticed a lot online. Definitely saw it during the political landscape of during the last election. And again, you guys know I don't like to go into politics, so we're not going to go into any of those details about which party or did this or that. But it was rampant, just kind of across the board. And I kind of feel like everybody from all sides was definitely guilty. And it's just people have their beliefs. And if somebody had a different belief, it was like mob mentality. That person would just get torn to shreds. And that's kind of dangerous. And this episode was actually inspired by this concept online called dirty deleting. And I always talk about being in different Facebook groups. And I was in a Facebook group with social workers. I'm in a lot of Facebook groups for foster parents and social workers and things like that, because I like to keep my finger on the pulse as to kind of what's going on and what people, foster parents, foster kids, social workers are going through, and hear things directly from their experience. As you guys know, with Sexy Boss Babe, part of our mission is to support charities that help foster youth and sex trafficking survivors. And I did a documentary about foster youth called Breaking the Cycle. It's available to watch on our website, sexybossbabe.com. If you haven't seen it, I urge you to watch it. It's about 30 minutes, gives you a really good overview of what goes on. And I also gave a TED Talk titled End Sex Trafficking by Helping Foster Youth. And that gives you a really good, that's just 10 minutes, and that gives you a really good overview of what's going on there. But because of that, aside from just our brand being supporting this demographic, it's why I'm using the brand as a platform to support this demographic. And so part of that is I need to always constantly be aware of what's going on. And I do a lot of research and I do a lot of interviews and have discussions with subject matter experts and things like that. Anyways, I'm getting a little off topic, but that's the point as far as why I'm in, Facebook groups with social workers, or for social workers, or with those that help, or that those that are titled, for the foster parent community. Anyways, So in this particular social worker group, somebody had posted something saying they were really upset because somebody dirty deleted, and they had given some advice, and that's not fair, and you know, please people stop dirty deleting. And I had only heard that term recently myself. I didn't know what that term was. Last year, sometime in the fall or maybe in the summer, I can't remember. I think it was in the summer. I had posted something, it had gone awry, and it wasn't my intention for it to go awry. But it didn't go over very well. And, it's just started kind of creating a lot of havoc, and that's not really why I go on social media. I'm not someone who's here to debate things with people and have arguments and things like that. And I think I've mentioned this before. I'm not here to hurt anybody. And I also think everyone's entitled to having their thoughts and opinions. I think it's really important for people to, you know, be able to have those. And I think tolerance is really important. I think being able to have tolerance for people that don't see eye to eye with you and don't agree with you, as long as people aren't committing crimes, as long as people aren't hurting anybody, that's just something, I mean, it's very American. That's just how I was brought up, and that's all I know about being in America, is that, you know, you have your freedom of thought, you have your freedom of expression and things like that. So, anyways, in this particular thread, and I'm going to pause here really quick because I do want to say, like, why is this important? Why am I bringing this up? The reason why I'm bringing this up is to address the dangerous things that can happen as a result of this, but also social media and the internet is a normal part of all of our lives. It doesn't matter who or what you are, it's the way of the world now. So if you're not on social media, you are not part of society anymore. So you're really losing out on a lot of different aspects of current culture. And especially if you are somebody that has maybe a business, or you're, you've got a platform, you have to be part of social media. That's just the nature of life now. So with that said, you are going to be experiencing these different types of things. So that's why I want to address it. So going back to the whole dirty deleting thing. So I had posted this thing. It didn't go over very well, and I started noticing there was a lot of, negativity on this post. And I just was like, you know what? I'm gonna just go ahead and delete this. This is not why I posted this. There's so many things going on anyways in the world, and just negative things and challenges. I don't want to open up my Facebook or my social media account to, you know, really aggressive conversations. I'm just not. That's a personal thing for me, and I have a right to feel that way about it. So I deleted the entire post. The next day on my page, on my Facebook page, somebody had independently, not even someone that I know, just like a complete stranger that I don't know, they follow me, but I don't know them personally, had just really kind of went at me, really upset at me for dirty deleting. And I hadn't heard that term before. And that, you know, I didn't like her comment, and that's why I deleted all these things. And I was like, what is this person talking about? We ended up having an actual conversation in our Facebook Messenger. We actually had a phone call, and I had told her, I said, I never even read her comments, because the other, you know, conversations and comments and people that were DMing me were so, it was so aggressive that I just wanted to just end the whole experience. And those things are very draining. It's very draining on your energy. It's very draining on your emotions. And I am totally a proponent, if something is causing you distress, take yourself out of that environment, whether it's in real life or whether it's online. And with online, unfortunately, there are a lot of distressing, a lot of situations that will cause distress. If people don't like something that you say or write or something like that, people will go on the attack. And so her and I ended up having this phone conversation through Instant Messenger. And I told her, I said, I never even read her comment. And then she went to say that she, you know, really liked me and she's been following me for a long time because she likes my platform. And she was sorry. And I was upset because she went on my personal page and gave herself the authority and the right to just blast me. It wasn't even on a post. Like, she just went on my page and just started writing things. And so, you know, once we kind of got to know each other and she apologized for that, once we started chatting a little bit, we had some things in common. And so, you know, we kind of squashed it and moved on from it. But point being, that was the first time that I had heard that term, that phrase, dirty deleting. And I guess it's like a thing. And not only is it a thing, but it's like the people that are proponents of it and like it and they want to uphold it, they are people that are kind of like this, like, online police. So they believe that anything that you post, you should never delete it. And if you do, it means that you're either fake or you are trying to hide or you're trying to run away from something that you said, et cetera, et cetera. And I think sometimes people may, you know, maybe they did post something and they regret that they posted it because they got a really bad backlash. Yeah, that's possible. You know, they didn't like that everybody attacked them and so they decided to delete or whatever the case is. And, sure, absolutely. So I think that they're right in saying that people delete for these X, Y, and Z reasons. My perspective on it is so what? So what if that person posted something and it ended up not going over well, or they were wrong about it and people attacked them and maybe proved them wrong? Why doesn't a human being have the right to remove themselves from a situation that's causing them distress? And the people that are on the attack or that do the mob mentality think, because then everybody will attack. It's not like, you know, a lot of these people are just saying, hey, John, what you said wasn't nice or wasn't polite. And I mean, a lot of the mob mentality is really aggressive. It's hateful. It's aggressive. I hate you people, you know, you people, you know, like, you know, I've read things, you know, you people should die, things like that. I mean, that's really hateful. So, I also just kind of feel like it's an opportunity. Well, one, when you're face to face with somebody, most people are not going to be confrontational, aggressively confrontational with someone when they're face to face. It's just not something that most people do. Most people don't want the confrontation. But online, it removes that little barrier. And I mean, for me personally, I'm sorry to say this. For me personally, I think that the keyboard warriors, they're cowards. They're the people in real life that aren't going to ever confront anybody. So there's a lot of this pent up, like, I got to say something to somebody. And they use that opportunity online, I feel like. And this is my personal opinion. That's my perspective on it when I see that. And again, no one's perfect, you know. I think we're all at some point guilty of popping off on somebody online. But there's some people that are just, they're in the consistent habit of doing that. And we all know in our friend circles, like, we all know who those people are. They're just ready to kind of attack somebody. And we have to think about that. Why are we doing it? Is it okay? How and how far can we go? And it's like, people want this, like, justice. And hold people accountable. And again, Facebook or other social media platforms, this is not a government platform where if you delete something, you're deleting, you know, some kind of personal, I mean, you know, important information that is unethical. It's a comment, an opinion. Maybe someone was wrong, whatever it is. And if it turns into a negative thing and it turns into this really uncontrollable negative thing, why shouldn't somebody have the right to remove it and delete it and move on with their day and pretend it never happened? And it's not to be fake or, you know, run away from responsibility. I just think that as human beings walking this earth, there are a lot of things that we're experiencing. And people online don't know what our personal lives are like. They don't know what else we're dealing with. And if, you know, maybe my life is falling apart, right? Maybe I've got all kinds of crazy stuff going on in my personal life and I open up my Facebook page and I'm like, oh my God, I can't deal with this drama. Let me just you know, remove this one little thing that I have control of so that I can have some peace. And that's, to me, that's what that is. So when people try to shame people for the dirty deleting and all that kind of stuff, again, my opinion, you're, you know, welcome to have your opinion on what that is. I know a lot of people are very passionate about, you know, being anti-dirty deleting. I also don't like a lot of these labels. I've never liked labels. I've never been a label person. And I just feel like in the last year, there's just a lot of these labels. Like, you know, I don't know. A friend of mine, we were in Clubhouse. I was hosting a room last Tuesday, and she brought up, and she, you know, she's somebody from the corporate world, has had some really high level positions and very high level companies, really intelligent. And she joined the conversation. We were talking about work-life balance. That was the topic. And she brought up how there's this article recently written about how in a lot of these women's conferences, they have full-on breakout rooms and full-on workshops to address imposter syndrome. And I know that that's been a buzzword. I've mentioned it in a few of my podcast episodes too. But to be real, it is, you know, it's a label, and it's like, you know, why do we always have to associate ourselves with these labels? And not all women feel imposter syndrome. Not all people feel imposter syndrome. So why is it a thing that always has to be addressed? So it's, I don't know. There's just a lot of these like buzzwords, and I don't like them. I don't like using them. I don't like them. everyone kind of gets categorized in these like little different groups. And, you know, I don't know. I'm a free thinker. I just don't like being limited to words and labels. I've never liked it. But anyways, going back to the main topic. So yeah, there's a lot of people that are just really passionate about this, you know, upholding, never delete your comments, never, you know, no one's ever allowed to be regretful or whatever. And people are out for blood. And so again, my kind of point with this was like, what is the background behind this? What are the reasons that these things are happening? And I also, again, my opinion, I also feel like it's just people that a lot of times these are other issues in your life, and you're using this opportunity to pop off at people that like you're being triggered, but you're using it as an opportunity to spew out your negativity and your anger. Where's the self-control? Why do you always have to be the person that has to attack somebody? Why can't you just let it go and just move on with your day? I mean, you're not going to change everybody's mind on everything. So I don't know. I just think it's something that we need to think about. We need to gain a little bit more self-control. And I think we've just been in this era of just, you know, high emotions because of the pandemic, and, you know, it's a stressful time. I get it. So, and I'm not trying to shame the people that have been doing it. I just want people to be more aware of the fact that they are doing it. And it's not a good thing, you know, one way or the other. It's not really a good thing. It just creates more, you know, negativity. And this kind of brings me to another, you know, related point. There's this documentary out right now on Netflix, if you guys have seen it. It's called The Cecil Hotel, and it's about the famous old Cecil Hotel in downtown Los Angeles, where Elisa Lam went missing for like 20 days, and then was found dead by a maintenance worker in the water tanks. I forgot what they're called, but they're the water tanks that are at the top of the roof of the buildings of these hotels. It's where the water comes from for the toilets and for the faucets and like the showers and things like that. Her dead body was found in there, and it was this, like, for years on the internet, there's these conspiracy theories and all kinds of these mysterious ideas of like what could have happened to Elisa Lam. You know, maybe she, you know, she was murdered, or she was kidnapped, or, you know, whatever it was. Watching the documentary, and I'm going to give you a warning. This is going to be a spoiler alert warning. So, if you want to see this documentary and not know what's going to happen, push this podcast on pause and go watch it and then come back and listen to it. But anyways, for those of you that don't care or that you've seen the documentary, I'm going to go ahead and continue. Come to find out, watching the documentary, that there really was no mystery around her death. And very shortly after they found her body, after that 19-day period, the police, you know, had sent her autopsy results and the toxicology reports and everything like that. And they ultimately found that she was under-medicated. She suffered from bipolar. And people that, if you're familiar with bipolar, I have people in my family that have experienced that. And I actually had an ex-boyfriend that experienced that. I'm very familiar with what bipolar is like, manic depressive bipolar. I've seen people be put onto 5150s, which is, you know, police either will put you on that or a doctor will, but it's when you are not able to make decisions for yourself, you are a harm to yourself or others, you're not able to care for yourself, so they will put you on a 5150, which is a mandatory three-day hold, a mandatory psychiatric three-day hold. So you end up going to a mental, hospital, and you get treatment for 3 days, usually heavily sedated through medication, until you're stable where they can release you. And if you're not stable, they'll keep you longer. Anyways, people that have bipolar or manic bipolar, they have periods of mania sometimes. And those periods of mania can last for extensive periods of time. It includes having delusions, hallucinations, a lot of other things. And people that have those conditions or are diagnosed, they are on strong medications or supposed to be on strong medications that, you know, forever, for the rest of their lives, a lot of times. And she was somebody that suffered from that illness, and she was supposed to be on her medication, and she wasn't taking her medication. She was under-medicated. There's a lot of witnesses throughout the time that she was at the hotel that reported odd behavior on her part. So when you add it all together and you watch certain little footages from the video, you can tell that she's most likely having a manic bipolar episode. And so it is very possible, which is what they also concluded, that if she, a lot of times people that have bipolar, they are very paranoid. They think people are following them or chasing them. And it is very possible that she went onto the roof because she thought she was being followed or chased, and she was trying to hide and climbed into the water cooler or water tank. The latch and the hatch of the water tank was left open. So it means that she went in. She probably wasn't able to get out because there was really no way to climb out of there once you're inside. So again, this was all hashed out pretty much, you know, rather quickly at the time of her, after they found her body. Obviously, very sad thing to experience this amongst, you know, anybody, especially a young person. She was young, I think 21 or so, or 23, didn't deserve that. And, you know, I wish that, you know, her family would have known what was going on. And, you know, it's just, it's a tragic and very sad thing. However, with that said, there are all these people online that have been obsessed with this case, solving this mystery and all these things. And it was one of those things that kind of fascinated me over the years too, which is what led me to listen to the documentary or watch the documentary. And then, like I said, come to find out, I'm like, whoa, there's no mystery around this. This was a pretty, you know, open and closed case. So all of these people online that really glamorized this case and, you know, talked about it a lot, they ended up pinpointing some poor singer. He was an entertainer, and his genre was called, I think it's called black metal or death metal, something like that. It's like a really hardcore heavy metal. And then his stage name was Morbid, and he kind of had face paint like the band Kiss, you know, they paint their faces white and stuff, and just the wild hairdos, the black and everything, really kind of that gothic look. So that was his look. His music was also Morbid, and that's a stage name, but, you know, a lot of the, you know, things about death and, you know, things like that. And if you looked at his YouTube, it was a little bit creepy. He stayed at the Cecil Hotel at some point and uploaded a music video, something about a death and a woman and, you know, things like that. And some of his other music videos were him on Hollywood Boulevard and, you know, with the guitar and things like that. And I remember watching this in the documentary. I watched it with a family member. And as soon as he was presented as a possible suspect of being a killer, I knew right away that he wasn't. I don't know. I have a sixth sense about these things. It's not even a psychic sixth sense. It's just an awareness. It's like, I know people really well. And just watching the music, watching the videos, seeing the other parts of the case, I just knew. I'm like, nah, you know, he might seem like an easy target because of how he presents himself. But I don't think this is a bad guy. I think this is just his music and his way of expressing himself. Unfortunately, online sleuths is what they call them. They're basically kind of like, they're not online trolls, but they kind of are. They found his music videos and they were trying to make their own, you know, they're trying to find clues. And a lot of times too, the power of suggestion, it's a thing. So please be aware of that. When people or pieces of information are presented in a certain way, it can lead you to believe a certain fact about something that might not be a fact. But if it's presented a certain way, it seems like it's a fact. And so these online sleuths, somehow through, you know, watching these things, they've decided that this guy was the murderer. And so people started posting on his YouTube, you killed Elisa Lam, you're a murderer, you're sick, you should die, all these things. He ended up making this video saying, I'm innocent, I didn't do this. And it didn't stop these online people. This guy was getting, I mean, majorly harassed online, to the point where he was getting death threats all the time. This poor guy lived in South America. On the last episode of the documentary, they interview him and he talks about his whole experience. And he wasn't even at the hotel at the time that Elisa Lam died. He stayed at the Cecil Hotel a year prior to that, and he lives in South America. So there's no way that he was even at the hotel or could have committed this, you know, crime. But he ended up becoming this victim of online shaming and bashing and, you know, the whole thing. And it kind of goes back to, where do people give themselves the right to just, you know, willy-nilly, freely go on to people's pages, destroy people's lives, think that they can say whatever they want. This guy was suicidal. He almost committed suicide as a result of the online bullying. When you see him without his makeup and without any of those, you know, things for his stage performance, he was just regular guy. I felt so sorry for him. I wanted to like give him a hug and, you know, he's like, I stopped doing my music. He's like, I, you know, the stuff I sing about, it's just a, you know, my shadow self. And it's not, you know, I would never do any of those things. And it's just a way for me to create, you know, do artistic expression. And again, his style of music isn't my taste. The stuff that he sings about, you know, I'm more of a positive person. So that's, you know, I don't think it's positive. But when it comes to art, I also respect art. I think art is a form of creation. It's a form of self-expression. And it's something that shouldn't be muted. It shouldn't be limited. And, you know, again, as long as nobody's hurting anybody, as long as, you know, no crimes are being committed, people should have the freedom to express themselves artistically, even if you don't like it, even if the mainstream doesn't like it or it makes people feel uncomfortable. A lot of times that's what art is. Artists do things to make people feel uncomfortable, to make you think, to make you see things in a different perspective. And, I think it's an interesting thing. I think it's a beautiful thing, and we shouldn't take that away from people. And because of that experience, it was taken. He stopped performing his music. He hasn't picked up a guitar in many years. He feels very uncomfortable. It's completely changed him. It broke him. I you could see it, and people online did that, and that's not okay. And so, If like we need to, as people, as a community, as a society, like we need to have way more compassion for people. We're losing our sense of compassion. We have turned into such a judgmental society. We are all holier than thou. And anyone that doesn't match our level of perfection that we think that we are is a horrible person, and they deserve to be crucified. That's how we're treating people online, and it needs to stop. None of us are perfect. You know, like we all need to look at our own gardens and our own homes and take care of that. You know, again, I think people are just, there's a lot of emotions going on right now. So people are looking for an excuse to lash out at others, and this needs to stop. On a personal note, I recently, you know, was on Instagram and I got a message from somebody from a fake account. And this is another thing. People are cowards. And I've had people message me for fake accounts saying mean things, and I've called them out and I've said, you know, if you're, you know, don't be such a coward, face me, tell me who you are. And they won't, because they're a coward. I've also learned not to engage. And so someone left me a message recently calling me fat and ugly and saying that I had a nose like a parrot's beak. And to be honest with you, it kind of made me laugh. And I spent a few minutes just cracking up and laughing. And at the same time, like, do I respond back? You know, and what am I going to respond back to that? Defend myself for what? To somebody that is so dark on the inside that they have to go to the lengths of creating a fake account to go to a stranger and say mean things? No normal, healthy-minded person that has good things going for them in life would ever go out of their way to say mean things like that to somebody. So people that say those kinds of things are people that are kind of broken inside. And so I didn't engage with them. I did report them for hate speech on the platform. And I also said a prayer for them. I said a prayer to bring light into this person's heart and to remove the darkness. I know that might sound a little bit weird, but I just, you know, and anyone that says those kinds of things. And I was online today, and I'm going to share with you, there's somebody on let me see if I can find it. I'm going to try to pull it up right now. Oh, here it is. This woman, she is an influencer, and she's a body positivity influencer. And here, let me see if I can read this. Somebody, she was posting some mean things that people were saying to her. And hold on, let me see if I can pull this up. Give me a second here. Okay, here it is. And another little warning here, I'm going to say some foul language. I'm just reading what this says. So she's not even overweight. Like, she's not stick thin, but she's not overweight. So this person received a message: fat bitch, remember being fat is unhealthy, and that's that. Just because you're a toxic fat bitch who ruined your own marriage through being a fat bitch doesn't excuse you trying to normalize being fat. Seriously, fix your eyebrows as well. They look like you've singed them. Trying to light a smoke. Oh. And there's others. I'm not going to read all the other ones, but they're just as mean. This influencer, her name is Ariel Anissa, Ariella Nyssa. If you get a chance, if you're on Instagram, check out her page, drop her a positive note, a positive message. You know, we're all people. We're all people. It doesn't matter if we have a platform. It doesn't matter if we are a public speaker, you know, whatever the case is, a celebrity, a politician, you know, we are all human beings. Let's hold people accountable through law, through the legal system, through voting, through, you know, sharing our opinions in a proper way. Let's not hurt each other. And that's really what this whole episode was going to be about, for people to just call your friends out, call your family members out when they do that kind of stuff. It's not okay. And if we don't say anything to the people that are doing it, it's just going to continue. And for those of us that are on the receiving end of the mean comments and the shaming, don't be afraid to disengage. Just don't engage with the toxic and the toxic negativity of those situations. Don't engage with the people. If you need to block somebody, block them. And if you engage with them, all that's going to happen is it's going to pull you into this like uncomfortable spiral of negativity. And do you want that? I mean, that's energy. Everything we do is energy. So we put our focus on negative things, it's just going to zap our energy, take us down a path of negativity. If we focus on positive things, we have uplifted energy. So don't engage. And back to the dirty deleting. You know what? Delete. This is a free country. If you feel uncomfortable, if you feel unsafe, if you feel distressed, if you want to protect your mental health, and if you think that deleting something that you posted or wrote will make you feel better, will protect your mental health, please be empowered to delete and don't let anybody make you feel bad about it. So that's what I wanted to address today. I hope you like this episode. Hope it didn't trigger you. But we can talk about this. If you have something to say, if you disagree with me or you agree with me or you have some experiences you want to share, next week on Tuesday on Clubhouse, if you're not part of Clubhouse yet, please join. I will be hosting a room with some great moderators and we'll be discussing this episode, this topic, and we will do a Q&A from the audience. So if you have something you want to say, Tuesday will be the time. 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern. Every Tuesday, we do a different topic. It's usually based on this week's podcast episode. So join us. Also, we've got a lot of announcements coming up. Opportunities for free prizes, gifts. It will be announced on Instagram. And we're going to announce it through email. So go to the website, sexybossbabe.com. Subscribe so you don't miss out your chance to win really, really, really good prizes. You can stay in touch with me on my personal Instagram at the Arzo Yusuf and also at the Sexy Boss Babe. I appreciate you guys very much for tuning in every week. I love your support. Please subscribe. Please leave a review. I promise to read it. And tell your friends about this podcast if you like it. Let's get the word out. Thanks, you guys. Have an amazing week. Talk soon. If you liked that episode, share it with a friend and subscribe to the Sexy Boss Babe podcast on Apple Podcast so you don't miss out on future great interviews and topics. And leave a review. I promise to read it.